The following is a presentation of Sports Addict Media.
Good evening, everyone. It is approaching 9:15 here on the East Coast, and your Wednesday, October 18th, just about 2 weeks away from All Hallows Eve, as we barrel through the MLB postseason. Now the NHL regular season's underway. I was going to make a joke how through two games the Islanders would have a share of the President's Trophy if the season ended today, but two teams have already played and won three games, so I can't even make that joke. But Joe Cagavale, Joe Sikoa, Al Plantemore here, bringing you our dive in this week. We're going to talk about week six in the NFL, what we saw. We're also going to talk about a bit of a shorter schedule, six teams on the bye in week seven here in the NFL, including Al's New York Jets. So Al can kind of kick his feet up a little bit here, focus a little bit more on getting the roster healthier. We'll talk a little bit about the recent health update for Aaron Rodgers. We'll dive into the week as a whole. And Joe, as we come in here, obviously, you know, you're really excited and I'm really excited about baseball postseason. We get hockey back. I mean, we're now finally about to hit the ultra rare time where all four major sports are playing at least somewhat meaningful games with the NBA starting in just under a week. So it's a great time to do a show like this.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fun time. It is an exciting time. I was at the Garden the other night for opening night for the Rangers. Nice 2-1 win over the Arizona Coyotes. So, you know, this is my favorite part of the season. And, and playoff baseball. I mean, right now, and we'll talk a little bit after our football segment, how basically the Philadelphia Phillies are just a different animal. I mean, this is a team that clearly has some unfinished business. You know, they went to the World Series last year. They lost to the Astros. And for the moment right now, the Phillies are in the driver's seat as they head to Arizona, up 2-0 in that series. Texas is back at home. They're up 2-0 in their series. However, Houston has put a 5-spot on Max Scherzer tonight. And again, we'll dive more into that and the postseason a little bit later on. But yeah, nonetheless, as you mentioned, man, it is truly an exciting time of the year. Joe, I think you're muted, bro. You've been muted. Joe, you've been muted the entire time.
I think I took a sip of water and never came back. But so, Al, you know, as I was saying to clearly only myself and my four walls, you get to come in here, you get a little bit of a week off. But I mean, you know, Al, I think we have to start with just, you know, the stunning finish at MetLife Stadium earlier this week, Sunday, the Jets handing the first loss of the season to the Philadelphia Eagles, who fall to 5-1. There are no more undefeated teams left. Both the Eagles and the 49ers lost. But, Al, I mean, this was a shock finish, say, at least Breece Hall with a huge touchdown late in the game. I mean, the Eagles just looked out of sorts all day. I mean, what kind of a win did it feel like for you? I mean, against all odds, it seems like, with Zach Wilson at the helm, this team is going into the bye week at 3-3.
Well, if you remember before the season, I had said this is when we thought we would have Rodgers, that I said, oh, we would be out of our minds if we were 4-2, but we would be very happy at 3-3 with the start of our season. We don't have Rodgers, and somehow we're 3-3. So, I mean, the most difficult part of our schedule, the first six games, without their quarterback, you know, and then – you know, to be 3-3 is not something I think anyone thought was possible, you know, when you saw, you know, Zach come in and play. Going into, as of what I said last week, going into that Eagles game, I didn't give them a chance, not a chance in hell to win that game. Without Rodgers, with, you know, no corners, our Sauce was out, DJ Reed was out, so both our starting corners, our nickelback was out, like everybody was out. I didn't think there'd be even if they could get the offense moving, which I didn't think they'd be able to, I didn't think they'd be able to stop anyone with, you know, Philadelphia's wide receiving core. And somehow they did, and they played very well. And one of our weaknesses is containing the quarterback, and we all know how, you know, elusive Jalen Hurts is and, you know, how dangerous he can be with his feet. And they did a good job against him. And, you know, somehow they won the game. I'm still in complete shock of it. But to be 3-3 now, we get the week off, which is like a great time to get healthy, you know, get our secondary back. And, you know, and then we come back in and our schedule gets a lot softer. And, you know, there's nowhere up, nowhere to go but up from here for the Jets.
And Al, you and I mentioned it when Rodgers first got hurt. I mean, if there was any doubt the Jets' defense is the real deal, I feel like that was kind of solidified with this win here. I mean, you're talking about them picking off Jalen Hurts three times, a quarterback who went to the Super Bowl just last year. And like you mentioned, all those injuries on the defense. I mean, we're getting to a point. I remember back in the day a few years ago when, you know, Peyton Manning was a shell of himself and the Denver Broncos defense carried him to a Super Bowl title. I mean, if Zach Wilson plays average or better football week in, week out with this defense, I mean, they've proven that they can pretty much contain anybody if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, forget average. Just be a game manager. Don't lose the game, and they can win. They can run the ball. You know, you just need him not turning the ball. If you can run the ball and play defense at the level this team can play, which is, you know, a top five defense, and you can run the ball, which, you know, we're showing that we can. If you don't turn the ball over, you're going to win a lot more than you lose. That's it. And that's with a quarterback, you know, that, you know, they throws 125 yards a game. You can win. You can win like that so long as the quarterback is not losing the game. And it seems like him and Hackett are getting, you know, to know each other a little better. It feels like, you know, Zach is more comfortable. Hackett's, you know, calling a better game plan for Zach. And if they can continue to improve on this and actually get Zach to where, you know, he's actually helping us as well, this can be a very dangerous team.
And I alluded to it in the beginning of the open, so I think we definitely should touch a little bit here. So the news came out, I believe it was yesterday or earlier today, that Aaron Rodgers was able to get on the field. He was able to do some throwing in front of Jets officials. Still, obviously, not really able to run too much, but he was able. He was on his feet. He was able to stand without crutches and able to throw the football. And, you know, Al, I'm starting to wonder if we get to this point now. Obviously, the thought was the Jets season was imploding. You know, the sky was falling, after Rodgers was hurt. But I wonder, you know, maybe fans and the media assumed a little too much about Rodgers' injury at first. I mean, they said he tore his Achilles, but they never really said how serious it was. So we don't know. Was it a slight rupture, maybe a small tear? So an injury that seemed season-ending. I mean, now with the team playing their best football of the season, you get this kind of update here to galvanize this locker room. I mean, there could be a decent chance, if he stays on this path, that we may see Aaron Rodgers before the end of the regular season, or at least if they get to the playoffs.
I mean, I'll still believe it when I see it. I saw him on Sunday before the game. He was throwing, which is, you know, crazy to think about considering, you know, the surgery he just had. But like you said, you know, I don't know how serious it is, and nor am I, you know, an orthopedic surgeon, if that's even the type of surgeon that does Achilles. But they said early that when Rodgers had alluded to that he could be back if they made the playoffs, and I was like, yeah, I don't know about it. Like, I thought, you know, it was just, you know, kind of blowing smoke up our butts. But I don't know. I mean, the guy's throwing. The guy's walking without crutches. I know with the new surgery they're doing, Cam Akers, who's a running back, so obviously a lot more, was back in 4 months. So could a quarterback do it? You know, like, certainly he doesn't need, you know, the legs as much as a running back does. And if a running back could do it, the only thing, Akers was probably 22 when it happened, and Rodgers is 38. But I don't know. They did say it was like, oh, if the Jets made the playoffs, perhaps he could be back. I mean, could there be anything more Willis Reed-like or miraculous than, you know, to see Rodgers coming out for the playoff game, you know, coming out of the tunnel and starting? That would almost, you know, like, you know, raise the dead, you know, for people to just be like, oh, my God. God, like this is a team of destiny if something like that would happen. So, I mean, we can hope. You know, it might be a fool's hope, but, you know, it's a hope.
See, this is why you have to listen to Al and let Al talk as a Jet fan, because I think I heard it on, or I saw it through WFAN, Sal Licata, and you could see it through some social media or whatever. Like, there are Jet fans who think that they're, like, Super Bowl bound after this win against Philly and now bringing their record back to 3-3. I mean, it is a good start, and Al, you said it in the sense of, you know, with Rodgers, you would have been very fine with a 3-3 going into the bye and their schedule getting weaker for them. But, like, the rational Jet fan that you are understands that you're cautiously optimistic about it, while there are Jet fans out there that are literally, you know, sitting there like, yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. This team is going to be a team of destiny, and we're going to coast until Aaron comes back, and then it's going to be nuts, you know?
Well, I mean, one, Aaron coming back is, you know, a 1 in 1,000 chance. Even if he does, he hasn't played all year, you know? So, but say he doesn't come back, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, you know? So, I mean, it's possible, but, you know, there are times that you do need a quarterback to win the game, and we don't have that. Can Zach get to that? Maybe, but he hasn't shown that. So, I mean, to believe that that's going to happen is stupid. If you think they're going to go in, you know, you go into the playoffs, you're the Jets, you're a wild card. What are you going to have to face? Maybe Cincinnati in the first round, then Jacksonville in the second round, then the Chiefs in the third round, all on the road, you know, like, That's not a regular season schedule. Those are road games in the playoffs, you know, against the best teams, you know. And so they still have to show me a lot more till I believe that that's a legitimate possibility, you know, where it's not just, you know, a fool's hope.
I mean, Al, it could be a lot worse. You could be me as a Giants fan sitting here right now, no idea where this team is heading. I mean, things are getting away fast. You know, that lost Sunday night was just brutal. I mean, it felt like they had Josh Allen right where they wanted. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was – I don't even know if I could say Tyrod Taylor was turning back the clock, because he was never really, like, an amazing quarterback. But, I mean, you know, at least you had a chance to watch a winning game, and then the Giants kind of, like, cling whatever hope they had, watching them basically throw a pass that should have been P.I. right at the end. And I'm going to get myself
– I would be – if I was a Giants fan, I would be rioting, honestly. You know, when I saw the play, I was like, it's amazing to me that, you know, some of these refs will blow a whistle for anything, and then to let calls that literally decide the game because they're not doing their job go by and not do anything. You know, we've seen it. We see it a couple times a year where it's such a blatant thing and it literally determines who wins, and the wrong team wins because the refs don't do their job. It's a problem, and I've said for years that it's a problem that the NFL needs.
And they threw a flag right before that too, that led to an untimed down. I don't think it was as bad as the contact on Waller. So I think if you're gonna throw one flag, you got to throw the other. And if the Giants were, you know, around the Jets' record, 3-2, 2-3, heading into that game, I probably would have been flipping tables.
Yeah, it was complete buffoonery. Like, the NFL should issue an apology to the Giants. You know, that ref should never work the game again. Like, that's how bad of, like, a missed call.
You know, you want to talk about, you guys are talking about bad officiating. It wasn't only in that game. The officiating in the Rangers game at the other night at the home opener was atrocious. First of all, the ref looked like he was, like, 14 years old and got pulled up from juniors or something like that. I mean, you know, and this could be a whole different topic one week when we're kind of in, like, a little bit of a downtime of this, but, like, you look across the four professional sports and the officiating, and, you know, there are times, and listen, you guys know me in the sense of that I'm a traditionalist when it comes to these games. I'm not a big fan of major changes and taking away from the originality of the games, but the officiating all across the sports has just been horrendous. And it's like, even in baseball, you guys are making it easier and easier for them to bring robotic umps in, and that's going to just be atrocious for any traditional baseball fan to watch. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the officiating, but we know that the NFL officiating has always been god-awful for years, but it just seems like more and more across, like, the four professional sports, at least, I'm watching.
Yeah, the officiating that Browns-Niners game, my God, the last drive. I mean, there were, like, three flags that were thrown that I was sitting there, my friend and I were watching the game. We were just looking at each other like, what the hell are these refs seeing? And, you know, it's really easy as a fan to pull that card, right, and say, oh, if the referees didn't do this and this, we would have won. Or it's really easy as a gambler to be like, oh, I would have covered the spread if the refs didn't screw me on that. But it's I feel like there's just so much. I mean, when these games and the way the NFL has gotten so popular, you know, these games are all on a national stage. Everyone's got Sunday Ticket or Red Zone, or whatever you want to call it these days. So, you know, there's not really the idea of, oh, if the Giants are playing, you know, the Rams on a random, you know, random Sunday game and only the New York fans are seeing it, it's like, well, maybe it's not as bad. But everyone sees everything these days. So, I mean, it's definitely something. I don't know if it can ever be truly addressed, because, you know, without giving every coach like 18 challenges every game, because I feel like that's the only way you're going to really figure it out. And each game's going to take freaking 6 hours long, and they're going to have to cut halftime shows and everything. But it's definitely rough. And, you know, at least one of us is a happy New York fan at the end of this week. And like I said, Al can be the one that gets to kick back and relax a little bit here and just watch everybody around him and the Jets trying to figure out who their threats could be as they get to the playoffs.
Yep, there you go. All right, so let's recap the week in itself, and then we will look at this week's matchups and then go into our pick. So the Thursday night game tomorrow night is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars, 4-2. They'll be visiting the 3-3 Saints. Actually, I said I was going to recap last week, and I'm giving you this week already. So let's rewind that. Going back to last week, the Chiefs beat the Broncos 19-8 on Thursday Night Football. Chiefs improved to 5-1. Broncos fall to 1-5. The Baltimore Orioles. Here we go. I don't know what's going on tonight, fellas. This is what happens when you're exhausted and you got two kids. The Ravens defeated the Titans 24-16 on Sunday afternoon. The Commanders pulled to 3-3 on the year. They beat the Falcons 24-16. The Bears fall to 1-5 at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings, who beat them 19-13. The Bengals beat the Seahawks 17-13. So it was the Bengals' defense that came showed up for them, and they now pulled a 500, so maybe things are swinging on the up and up for them. The Browns stunned the 49ers 19-17, gives the 49ers their first loss this week. Quite a few undefeated teams took their first losses of the season. The Dolphins all over the Panthers, who now fall to 0-6, 42-21. The Jaguars beat the Colts 37-20. Jaguars improved to 4-2. Colts are 3-3. The Texans beat the Saints 20-13. Both teams now have a 3-3 record. The Raiders beat up on the Patriots 21-17. Patriots are now 1-5 on the year. Also 1-5, the Cardinals, who fell to the hands of the LA Rams 26-9. As forementioned, the Jets hand the Eagles their first loss of the season with a 20-14 victory against Philadelphia. The Lions knock off the Bucks 20-6. Lions now 5-1 on the year. The Buccaneers 3-2. The Bills improved to 4-2 with a win over the Giants 14-9. Barely hanging on in that one, but the Giants now fall to 1-5. And the Monday night game, the Cowboys beat the Chargers 20-17. The Cowboys improved to 4-2. The Chargers are now 2-3. Before we look forward to this week's matchups and getting into our picks, Joe, I got to ask you now, because you spoke to Al, at least on the Jets' perspective, how about the Giants' perspective? 1-5 now, as they will continue here. They'll be back at home against the Commanders, and I'm sure ticket prices at MetLife Stadium continue to drop at just how disgusted and frustrating Giants fans are. So now I have to ask you, you're at a point in the season where you're 1-5. There's a couple of teams ahead of you when it comes down to it now with the number one draft pick. As far as the draft class is concerned, where are you sitting here as a Giants fan? Are you now wishing that they tank? Is this draft class something that could be enticing for the Giants if they have another high pick? Where are you at with that?
Well, to put things in perspective, Joe, I heard a stat today that the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are fighting to get to the World Series, still the cheapest ticket to enter the stadium site is $13. And that's for a team that's trying to go to the World Series. So you can only imagine what Giants fans are feeling right now. And this has kind of been a Murphy's Law season for the Giants. What can go wrong will go wrong. Saquon Barkley, who was mostly healthy last year, got back to being dominant. He gets hurt. Daniel Jones, who they just paid a ton of money trying to make sure he's the new face of their franchise going forward, he gets hurt. You know, Andrew Thomas, one of the best offensive tackles of football last year, one of the, you know, top young offensive linemen in the game, they gave him a bunch of money, he gets hurt. And it's just an unwavering just storm of crap, the best way I can put it, being thrown towards the Giants at MetLife Stadium. And it's a rough situation because there really isn't a way to get out from this. If this was last year and Daniel Jones is entering a contract year, the Giants might have taken a step back and said, you know what, let's just get a new quarterback in here, let's start things fresh. But obviously, with all the money you're paying him, that's just not going to happen. I'm not going to sit here and pin everything that's gone wrong this season on Daniel Jones, because there are games we saw it against Seattle, we saw it against San Francisco. He's absolutely running for his life. The offensive line's been banged up. They have not been cohesive. The guys who are playing are not playing well. Evan Neal is telling the fans to boo louder. I mean, it's getting worse before it gets better, and I don't want this to seem like Daniel Jones is the problem here, because the guys they brought in to really supplant this offense and make them better just aren't working. You know, I talked about it last week too, how their defense has been solid, but they're getting gas because they've been on the field for so long. And if you're looking at this game Sunday night, like I said to Al earlier, if the Giants were one or two wins better on their record, you could say, you know what, they went and played a really good team on the road. They had Josh Allen on the ropes, and they almost won the game. But, A, the Bills love to play with their food. They love to screw around and give you hope before they eventually end up winning in the end. But this is just a rough situation. There's no indication Daniel Jones is going to be back this week. The Giants, on paper, could very easily have won this game against Washington if they were fully healthy, but they're not. And if they're going to have to start Tyrod Taylor again, there's a good chance that this Commander defensive line is going to have a field day. So it doesn't really matter if Darren Waller plays, if Saquon Barkley plays, if any of these guys play, because at the very best, they could give a fight to possibly win with Daniel Jones in there. But without him, it's going to probably be more of the same. And I wish I could sit here and be more positive. I mean, you mentioned the draft class. Obviously, this team needs some sort of weapon on offense. You're not going to go out and try and reinvest in the offensive line again early in the draft, because you've already done that so many times in the last few years. I mean, maybe you go out and get, you hope for maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft if you fall that low. But I just think this team's just good enough to not fall that low. So I think you kind of have to just strap in and try and stay the course. You know, if you're a Giants fan, just take one week at a time and hope when Jones come back and the offense starts to hopefully round into form, they won't be too far out of it that they can't make a run at this thing. So it's going to be really tough, but you know, we press forward. And actually, Al, I wanted to throw a couple tidbits your way before we jump into this week's scores. We heard earlier today, it was made official, probably not too surprising, Roger Goodell got a 3-year extension as commissioner of the NFL. Probably going to be his last run as commissioner. I think he's like 64 right now, so this is probably going to be his last contract. And we also heard earlier today that Anthony Richardson, the young rookie quarterback for the Colts, who showed some flashes in his first year, he's going to be out for the season with shoulder surgery. So, Al, we'll have a quick word on Goodell quick. I mean, it's not too surprising that he's getting the vote of approval from the owners here. I mean, the NFL is still growing in popularity despite him having some issues, but probably not too much of a surprise here to see he got a new contract.
Yeah, I mean, look at their revenue. That's what the owners care about. So clearly they're showing that they're giving him the credit for that. I'm not sure anyone can do a bad job in that position. So I'll leave it at that. There are things I would like to see the commissioner address. But what do they care about? They care about the revenue. They care about spreading the brand. And he's doing both those things. There's not really any problems going on with the league. So that's it, you know, that's where we're at, and, you know, so he got that extension.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at week 7 in the NFL. As I mentioned before, the Thursday night game, you'll have the Jaguars visiting the Saints in New Orleans. That is Thursday Night Football, slated to kick off at 8:15 on Prime Video. Shifting to Sunday the 22nd, you are going to have the 1 o'clock slate. That is going to feature the Raiders taking on the Chicago Bears from Chicago. The Indianapolis Colts will host the Cleveland Browns. The Bills will be in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium to take on the New England Patriots. As we mentioned, the Giants back home this weekend. They'll play host to the Commanders. And the Buccaneers will be home to the Atlanta Falcons. And rounding out the 1 o'clock slate, the Detroit Lions will be in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. 4:05, you'll have the L.A. Rams kicking off a home game here against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the Seahawks will play host to the Arizona Cardinals. The 4:25 slot will feature the Green Bay Packers in Denver to take on the Broncos, while the Chiefs are home to handle the Chargers. And then the 8:20 NBC game is going to feature a big-time matchup of 5-1 teams, the Miami Dolphins and Philadelphia Eagles. The Monday night game will have the 49ers in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. That is at 8:15 on ESPN. The teams on the bye this week, there's quite a few of them, as Joe mentioned: the Bengals, Cowboys, Titans, Jets, Panthers, and Texans. So that is a look at the Week 7 schedule. So let's get right into our picks. What's up?
Before we go into our picks, the Aces took the lead, two-point lead, over the Liberty after the Liberty were up, I think, 14 or 16 in the third quarter. Now the Aces just took the lead.
The Aces, if they win tonight, they will win the WNBA championship. So the Liberty are trying to hang on and force another game. You know, they're trying to force a Game 5, so the finals is a best-of-five series. So they're trying to force a Game 5. They were trailing in this series, I believe, down.
They won Game 3, and they were up 12 at half, and then they extended it to, like, 14, and they're going into the fourth quarter now, and they're down.
Well, hopefully the Liberty can turn it around here and get regain the lead and hold on to win that game to force the Game 5. All right, gentlemen, let's get into our picks. And, Al, we'll start with you with your first pick of the week.
Okay, this is a pick I'm a little nervous about, but I hear that he's going to be okay because they were saying with Lawrence's knee, they weren't sure he'd be available. But they've looked better. They're looking like they're starting to come to form and turn into the team that, you know, we saw the second half of last year, the playoff team, the team we thought they were going to be. I'm going to take a road team, and I have all road teams here this week. It just worked out that way, you know, looking at the schedule. Jacksonville plus one at the Saints. The Saints look like a typical mediocre team. They're not terrible. They're not good. They're a mediocre team. The Jaguars are starting to look really good. They looked really good 2 weeks ago against the Bills in London. They looked good last week against the Colts, where they actually were dominant last week against the Colts. Not a great pick if Lawrence isn't playing, but I think he is. Etienne is finally starting to catch fire. The defense is good. They're getting after the quarterback. And I just don't think, you know, the Saints match up well with them. And I think Jacksonville checks every box if you compare the two. So I'll take the points. It's on the road. It's only one, you know, it's 1 point, but a point's a point. So Jacksonville plus one against the Saints.
All right, Joe, your pick.
And my first pick, I'm actually going to go against Al here. I'm going to take the Saints minus one here. I mean, it's at home, and as much as I love Trevor, he's been playing a lot better. I should know he's on my fantasy team. But, you know, as good as Etienne was last week, this team is starting to round into form. I'm just really worried about Trevor's knee on that short turnaround. I don't think it's going to be enough to keep him out, but I do think he'll be a little bit slowed up. And I do like the Saints' defense. You know, New Orleans is still a really tough place to play, and they've really shown up now here. I mean, they had a really tough game against Houston last week. I think this is going to be a bit of a defensive battle. They're, you know, outside of that 34-point average against New England, their offense has been a little slow to come on. But I think as Derek Carr gets a little bit healthier and they get Alvin Kamara worked back into the mix, I think that'll work itself out. So it's not really this is going to be a rough week for picks because not only are there a lot of teams on the bye, like Joe just said, but there's so many quarterback injuries that you got to wade your way through. So I'll take the Saints at home on Thursday night. I just think it's one of those, you know, primetime games. Quick turnaround here for Jacksonville. They're a team that's been traveling a lot with London, and Trevor needs a little barky. So it is, like Al said, only 1 point basically a pick 'em. So I will take the Saints at home on Thursday night for my first pick of the week.
All right, my first pick of the week, I'm going to go with the Bills at -8.5. I think they know they played sloppy against the Giants where they barely hung on, and they're going into Foxborough against the Patriots team that just looks like total disasters right now. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable with the Buffalo Bills at 8.5 for my first pick of the week. Al?
I'll follow Joe with that pick. I'll take Buffalo -8.5. They didn't look very good last week, and they should have lost that game to the Giants. Good teams like this, especially the Bills, they've already showed us this. When they have that week, you know, like they did against the Jets, they came back and they were like, okay, we got to turn it around, you know, and they did. I think they're good. The same thing is going to happen. And look, I don't think people are realizing how historically bad New England has been thus far. You know, the two worst losses of Belichick's career, I just don't know where they're getting offense. Their defense, which was good, they're dropping like flies. They lost another guy for the season. I don't see, and, you know, even if you slow the Bills, they're still going to hang, you know, probably 20-something on them. And I don't think the Patriots can score more than 10. So I'm going to take Buffalo on the road -8.5.
All right, for my second pick of the week, I'm going to take a road underdog here. I'm going to go with the Lions +3 in Baltimore. I mean, this is on paper, it looks like the Ravens could win this game. You're at home. The Lions are a really good road team, though. They haven't lost the game on the road yet this year. They're 3-0. Obviously, this pick could tend a little bit on if David Montgomery is available to play for them. But, you know, the Lions have proved very well that they can have a lot of weapons on offense. They're very deep. Jahmyr Gibbs is very capable of handling number one back duties until Montgomery returns. And Goff has been fantastic for them so far this season. So I like the Lions here. They're playing really good football right now. And the Ravens, even when they're on paper better than a team, they like to kind of play around a little bit. They get stuck. And I really do wish this was 3.5 instead of 3, because I would have been all over the Lions either way. This reeks of a game where, you know, they go back and forth the whole time and Justin Tucker hits like a 61-yarder as time expires to give the Ravens the win. But I think the Lions are a scary matchup for Baltimore here. They're, you know, they're hungry. They want to prove teams wrong going into Baltimore, would definitely be a big win. They already went into Buffalo and they won. So let's do that. Let's go with the Lions +3. I really do like where this team is heading. I am all over them this week, even though I hope that half doesn't come back to bite me for that second pick. I'll take Lions +3 in Baltimore.
All right, well, my second pick, I'm going to go with the Falcons at plus 2.5 against Tampa Bay. You know, I think, go back to a couple of weeks ago when Al was talking about them playing a little bit better than expected, maybe a little bit of a fluke there. They're not good on the road thus far, 0-2 on the road, but I think I'm just gonna go with a team that I think has the capabilities of coming into Tampa Bay and beating them. So with my second pick, it's the Falcons at +2.5.
I'll go with my third pick. I'm gonna follow Joe. Take Lions +3. I don't think the Ravens are that good right now. Their defense looks very good, but the offense looks very shaky. And the Lions look like one of the best teams in the league right now. Jared Goff is MVP candidate. A little worried about the running game right now, being that they're both hurt, but I think Gibbs will be back. So I'm going to take the Lions +3.
All right, so for pick number 3 of the week, give me the Rams -3 at home against the Steelers. The Steelers, I mean, they're a pretty misleading 3-2 right now. They barely beat Baltimore last week, you know, and the Ravens were, you know, winning a lot of that game. Pittsburgh had to come back late. I mean, this is a Pittsburgh team. They've gotten blown out by San Francisco and Houston. They barely beat Vegas on the road. I think they're a little bit of an up-and-down team. I don't think Kenny Pickett's having a very good year. You know, Najee Harris hasn't been very good. I think the Rams are one of the better teams in football. I said it last week. They were sneaky under the radar 2-3, and they went out and they handled business against Arizona last week. So I like the way Stafford's rounding into form. You know, Cooper Kupp's getting healthy. They're starting to play really good football at the right time here. And as much as the Steelers, I think, are misleading 3-2, I think the Rams are undeserving of that 3-3 record, because even their 3 losses, like I said last week, were all very close. So I really like the Rams at home here. They're probably one of my favorite picks of the week. So I think they'll get above 500. I think they're going to get the win here, and I'll take them minus -3 at home against the Steelers.
All righty. What are we up to? My third pick here? My stupid phone locked. I'm going with the Chiefs at minus -5.5. You know, again, I think it was a week for them, you know, in week 6 where I think that they probably feel like that they could have played better, especially against the Broncos team that's not very good. Mahomes threw for just over 300 yards, threw one touchdown, threw an interception. So I do believe, though, that they know that they could be better, and I think this is a week that they are going to try to build off of that a little bit. So with my third pick, I'm going with the Chiefs at minus -5.5.
Okay, so I'll jump in here.
Oh, I got it. I got it. You hear me? Okay,
yeah,
I had it on mute.
Okay, there we go.
I'm going to go with the Raiders here. It's 3 or 3.5?
Yeah, on our line, it is 3.
Okay, so here's why I'm going with the Raiders. The Raiders, I feel, are like the Saints. I think they're a mediocre team. They're not terrible. They're not great. Jimmy Garoppolo wins. You know, we can knock him if we want, but he wins. And the defense is playing pretty good. Their offense scares me a bit, but they seem to be, you know, playing decent enough football. Here's the thing with the Bears. Justin Fields is out. We have a quarterback right now, their backup, who played Division II football last year. He came in at the end of the game last week when Fields was out. You know, he's, I guess, really talented and has the tools, which is why they drafted a Division II quarterback. But he was playing in some, like, community college last year. And, you know, he got strip sacked and things like that. Bears are already a team that, you know, when Fields is on, as we saw 2 weeks ago, they can explode. But if he's not, they're awful. They're god-awful, possibly the worst team in the league. Now you take away Fields, you know, their biggest weapon. I don't know how this kid is going to, you know, lead a bad NFL team. And it's only 3 points. I feel like the sucker bet and they're bringing us in, but I don't know how they're going to move, you know, move the ball at all on offense. Khalil Herbert is out. Rashawn Johnson may be back, but he might be out, which means they're down to Dante Foreman, who is their practice squad running back. I just don't see it, so I'm going to take the Raiders on the road.
And for my fourth pick, I'm going to follow Joe here. I'll also take the Chiefs at minus -5.5. And look, you know, as much as you can say, oh, they had a pretty uneven game last week against Denver, they should have beaten by more. They won by 11, so technically they covered the Vegas spread, which is set at 10.5. So even there, with them not playing their best, they were still able to win at home and cover. And I think they're going to do the same thing here. I mean, look at the way the Chargers played. Look, they played the Cowboys very well on Monday night, but this is a team that famously cannot handle themselves in big situations. I mean, you know, the ESPN crew showed a graphic after that game that the Chargers have the second most losses by 3 or fewer points in the last 2 seasons. So that's all you need to know right there. I think 3 of those teams were in the AFC West. That just shows you how terrible the AFC West is in close games. And look, you're going on the road to play Kansas City, who, like I said, you know, they, even they're not playing their best football right now, they're still beating teams by at least one possession. And Taylor Swift still clearly has some sort of power over Travis Kelce. He's still playing amazing football. And that's going to be basically it here. I mean, if this was in L.A., I might have a different tune. But you're talking about the Chargers going into Arrowhead. They're still losing tough games. Brandon Staley is finding ways to mismanage an amazing amount of talent. I think that continues here. As much as I think that they're a good team, they're a little hobbled right now, and they're just trying to find some momentum. I don't think it comes here. So I will gladly take the Chiefs at home, and I'll trust Mahomes and Reed and Arrowhead minus -5.5.
Mm-hmm. With my fourth pick, I'm jumping on the bandwagon with you guys and the Lions at plus +3. Taking on a Ravens team that, right, they're coming off a loss last week, correct? I know I just did the scores
the
a second ago. Yeah, they're coming off of a loss. No, they won against the Titans last week. I apologize.
All right, yeah, Pittsburgh was on bye.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was in week 5. But this Detroit Lions team is really good. Good on the road. Goff has been spectacular thus far this season. So my fourth pick is the Lions at plus +3.
All right. And my last pick, a little worrisome, but it looks like Debo may be back. Trent Williams may be back. McCaffrey, they're saying, can play. I don't think he's going to play. I think they'd be stupid to play him. Get him fresh. You need him. Clearly, they showed last week that he's the driving force on that offense. But even without him, Minnesota's without their best player in Justin Jefferson. They looked a lot slower last week, and they were already looking very stale. I think the 49ers are going to be pissed about that loss last week. And this is a super talented team. It's 7 points, which is a lot of points on the road. And Minnesota's a team that can score, but I think the 49ers, even without McCaffrey, you know, Mason has shown to be, you know, a good backup. And if Mitchell can be healthy, he's certainly a good backup. And if with their receivers back, I don't see how Minnesota slows them down. Their defense is very weak, and they won't be able to keep up. So San Francisco minus -7.
And I'm going to go with the team for my final pick that the Jets beat last week. I'm going to take the Eagles minus -2.5. And look, Miami, you know, as amazing as their offense has been, as great as Tua has been with all the weapons around him, their defense is not very good. I think the Eagles have a get-right performance in them because even though they're 5-1, they haven't really looked like the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. This team's had a lot of problems through their first 6 games. And, you know, I know a lot of people would kill to be 5-1 right now, the Giants including. But, you know, there's, I think, a lot more to be desired from the Eagles right now. And the fact they just got, you know, punched in the mouth their first loss against the Jets, even though they were on the road, that MetLife Stadium is a building they're used to dominating in against the Giants. So I think this is their chance to kind of get going here. I think this is going to be a very good game. And in fact, it's on Sunday Night Football. So I think it's going to be one of the best games of the week. But the Dolphins are due to kind of get knocked off the perch a little bit. They're going to go into Philly. I think the Eagles have to right the ship a little bit, especially with Dallas continuing to win. They need to keep the pressure off a little bit. So I think the Eagles really need this win at home. I think there's going to be a lot of talk in that locker room from Nick Sirianni trying to get them back on point. I think it's going to work out here. So in a battle of 2 5-1 Titans, I will take the Eagles minus -2.5 at home on Sunday night for my last pick of the week.
All right, and with my last pick of the week, I'm going with the Seahawks at minus -8. They're taking on the Cardinals, who are 1-5. The Cardinals look like disasters. And listen, is this a team that could be led by Geno Smith a little bit more? Absolutely. So they're looking pretty good. So with me, it's the Seahawks at minus -8 for this and my for this week and my final pick.
That's it.
All right.
Now you got to do last week's standings and overall.
All right. Let's see. Let's see what. Let's see what Al has said.
I wonder why Al wants to get to that. I wonder why he always is the one to remember to bring that up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Week 6, Al went 4-1. Both Joe and I went 3-2. Overall, this is why. Overall, Al is 22-8, which is a 73.33% winning percentage right there. Myself, 18-12, and Joe is 13-16-1. That's exactly why Al wanted to bring it up, is that he can gloat about the fact that he is 73%. And he's right, though, that a $100 better would be up over $1,300 thus far in the season.
Yeah, we've done better lately. In the games where Joe doesn't pick both sides, he usually does pretty well, too. But Al's on a different run right now.
Yeah, Joe hit the sheet last week, though. So overall, Joe had a better week last week when you consider all the games.
Yeah, this is exactly.
He's like one of two people that had the Giants. So
I was one of two people that have the Giants.
As was I. I was the other one, I think.
Yeah. The other thing too here is, Al, and this is where you're probably going to get mad at me a little bit, but sure enough, who do you think texted me and said, oh, do you want to split the week? So if I win with the Chargers and cover the points, do you want to split the week? And I'm like, at that point, I'm just like, but I could win it outright, though. He's like, you could, but whatever. Who do you think it was?
Was it Matt?
Yes, it was.
But he was, wasn't there more than one other person alive on the other
side? Yeah.
You were the only person alive.
I was the only person that needed the Giants. I needed Dallas to win. I needed Dallas to win in the Monday night game. He needed the Chargers, and he only had a small – yeah, he had a small window of points without going over in order to get the win. And there were four other people that could have won based on points as well. So, but leave it to him. After he won – I did take it like a moron, but after he won last week – he felt the need, let me try to split this week, so that's 2 weeks in a row of winning.
Well, I mean, I was going to split with him the week if Atlanta didn't, actually, if Atlanta didn't screw me, I would have won.
Yeah.
If it was only me and him going into the last game, I would have did that. But, it was one from both sides. Here, it was one on one side, but four on the other. So the choice, you know, the chance of him winning were way lower than you.
Yep. So,
yeah, whatever. A win's a win.
Exactly. All right, Al. Want to thank you so much for taking the time here, of course, as always, with our weekly football talk, and we'll hopefully talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, Al Plantamora there. We're about to hit the top of the hour here on the East Coast, 10 p.m. You're listening to Two Cups of Joe, a sports show, Joe Sacoa, Joe Cacavalli. And we'll shift quickly over to a couple of topics before we kind of wrap up the week because, Joe, I got to be honest with you, man, I am burnt out. It has been busy at work, extremely tired right now. But
You've been watching the Baltimore Orioles and they got eliminated last week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's where we're at this point. But speaking of, the baseball postseason rolls on, and in the week's time that we have been with you, it is the championship series where the Rangers absolutely steamrolled into it with a clean sweep. And, you know, going into tonight's game, they're actually 7-0 in the postseason thus far. They are making things interesting, I think, right now. It is 5-2. Where the Astros are winning. So the Astros are trying to at least grab this game to cut the deficit in half to 2-1. As far as the National League is concerned, the Philadelphia Phillies are a machine, as I mentioned. They are just absolutely steamrolling right now. They have made the Diamondbacks look like an 84-win team, which is what they were this season. So much so, as Joe, you mentioned it before, that the fans are already giving up the get-in price for Game 3 of the National League Championship Series in Arizona is $10, $13. That's just how insane it was. And like I said, Philly is on a mission. They fell short last year, losing into the World Series, and you could feel as if that there was a chip on the shoulder. And boy, oh boy, every single time, and we said it last week, Bryce Harper comes through in big-time situations. He freaking delivers. And all that keeps playing in my head is, we believe in Aaron Hicks and the current outfield alignment we have. That from Brian Cashman.
Not only are they really talented and Harper and Castellanos playing out of their heads, why, if you're the Atlanta Braves and Orlando Arcia, why would you want to piss them off? Like, why would you want to take a team, like, do you see what their fan base is? I mean, that once you piss off Philadelphia, it's game over. I mean, that happens with the Eagles. We've seen it happen with, you know, with the Flyers in years past. Don't just stop poking the bear. When he said, "Attaboy Harper," and that's like, that's it. You're done now, and that's the end of it. So I don't understand why people keep testing.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, you go back to that. You go back to the Braves series, and then even in this one, where I think who was it? Zach Allen. Or Merrill Kelly, whoever the starter was, turns around and goes, yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Philly. They're a loud bunch, but there's no way it was louder than the games that they played down in Venezuela. It's like you're poking the bear. You're poking the bear. And you know what else? I mean, look at also Trey Turner. What a complete turnaround. And all it took was a standing ovation. Maybe Yankee fans should take a book out of that and maybe give Giancarlo Stanton a standing ovation, and maybe he'll turn it around where he'll become that powerful 275-plus hitter that can smash 35, 40 home runs in a season. I mean, you want to talk about a story there? Trey Turner was, like, slumping bad. And Philadelphia, as we know what their fan base is like, okay, we know what their fan base is like, they gave the guy a standing ovation to build his confidence, and since then, he has been on an absolute freaking tear.
They're going to call it the city of brotherly love for nothing. I mean, it's, look, you know, and good on them. They haven't won a World Series since 08, and, you know, the last time they were there, the Yankees kind of sent them packing. So, I mean, that's and I know the city, you know, where they just won with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl a few years ago. But, you know, the Phillies fans, they've earned it. I mean, they watched some horrendous teams really play after, you know, guys like Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Shane Victorino. You know, after all those guys were gone, they went through some really bad years in Philly and watched the Braves really dominate the NL East landscape. So to see them kind of get a chance to enjoy things here and get a chance to win the World Series, I'm all for it. And, you know, you and I, Joe, as long as anyone but the Astros wins the World Series this year, I mean, we're good.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why, you know, Texas, it would have been nice to maybe take a chokehold of this series and go up 3-0. But right now in the top of the seventh, they are trailing Houston 5-2. And it was Max Scherzer's first start since September 12th, you know, when he got hurt. And Max Scherzer, yet another postseason performance, Joe, not very good.
I mean, I don't know what it is. Do you keep his regular season innings down? This one, I mean, he's obviously getting older, but we've seen it happen with Kershaw. Now he's been older in the postseason too. I mean, their arms just get tired, or they you know, it's just something that happens. We saw it happen with Scherzer a couple years ago too, when he got traded to the Dodgers at the deadline and from the Nationals, and he fell apart in that playoffs too.
Yeah, it is absolutely nuts. So, of course, we will continue to follow this series as well. So this is the only game on tonight. The National League Championship Series continues tomorrow when it shifts over to Arizona. That game is slated for a 5:07 start. It'll be Ranger Suarez against, I can't even say, what is it, Fott? What the hell's his name on Arizona? P-F-A-A-D-T?
Fott.
Yeah, Fott. So game three is at 5:07 tomorrow, and then game four of the Astros-Rangers is at 8:03. There are no listed starters just yet. All right, over into the hockey world. The NHL season is underway, and the local teams have gotten their seasons going. The Islanders have played two games thus far, probably one of the very few teams that have only played two games while everyone else is already in the 3-4 mark, but they are 2-0. The Rangers have played three games in their season, 2-1-0. They opened up the season against Buffalo last week. They won that one, a dreadful performance in Columbus, and then a nice bounce-back win at home against the Arizona Coyotes. They'll have a game tomorrow night at the Garden when they welcome in the Nashville Predators, and then they go on a freaking six-game road trip out to the West Coast. It starts with the Seattle Kraken later on this week. So here we go already, a week into the season, and I have to be forced to have a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock just to keep myself awake for these West Coast games, man. And the Devils have played three games, and they are 1-1-1 on the season. So pretty fun stuff, of course, getting the hockey season going. And how about already, like we said, two games into the season, Ilya Sorokin posts his first shutout of the season when they beat Arizona last night. And that's actually his 17th or 18th career shutout in very few amount of games. I think he's closing in on a franchise record with that, with the New York Islanders.
It's been fantastic. I mean, I'm buying a jersey. Once, you know, now that he's in and locked in, I mean, I wouldn't take
jerseys,
him into the foxhole with me.
If you need jerseys, man, I got a good connect, so I'm putting in a jersey order.
Absolutely. I mean, I would take him and make a blanket and put it in front of me in the battlefield in, like, the middle of the most intense battle on the beaches of Normandy, and not a single thing would get through. That's how confident I am. and Ilya Sorokin. But, I mean, it's great to see Barzal score in that game as well. And, you know, this is what's going to happen, Joe. I mean, we talked about it a lot during the playoffs last year, too. The Islanders are going to go as far as he carries them. I mean, you know, Barzal and, you know, Horvat line played really well in that game. But at the end of the day, it's going to have a lot to do with the performance between the pipes. And I think we're going to see a lot of 1-0 and 2-1 type finishes from the Islanders this season. Both their games this year, they've been decided by a goal. And I'm going to expect a lot more going forward just because the margin for error is just so razor thin.
Yeah. Right now, with a minute and 46 seconds to go in the WNBA game, the Aces are currently holding on, or now have extended their lead with a minute 14 to go. They have a 6-point lead over the New York Liberty, which, if this result holds on, the Las Vegas Aces will win the WNBA championship, defeating them in a 4-game win. So once again, it's now a 3-point game with 55 seconds to go in that one. So that's a look at that as well. So Joe had a very specific request when we ended our show. And I think it's because, you know what, I'll let Joe explain it. Joe, what's been the secret formula of the Texas Rangers march in the playoffs thus far?
And you know, Joe, you would think it would be like some sort of, you know, maybe they're doing like a team, you know, ritual or meeting before the game, or maybe they're using some sort of like certain type of things in batting practice. No, it is the music of a band who just recently announced a bit of a reunion of sorts, kind of the hidden gem drunken enjoyment of a lot of college students everywhere. I, of course, am talking about the legendary Scott Stapp and the makings of Creed.
There you go. So, Joe asked to end with Creed of our show tonight.
And they are at the game tonight, but the Rangers are losing, so I'm not sure what that says.
Yeah. Maybe they shouldn't be at the game. They should just play it in the clubhouse. But you've been listening to Two Cups of Joe, a sports show right here on Sports Addict Media Radio. We want to thank Albert Plantamora for joining us, as always, for his football talk. On behalf of Joe Cacavelli, I'm Joe Sacoa. You have yourselves a good sports week, and we will indeed talk to you next week. It's all right.